When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Radio for a really great future.
We're talking real money.
Hey there, welcome to the show. The show. Why is it the show? It's the show because it's about your dough. And that's the thing you, one, deal with most, need regularly, work really hard to get, we hope actually save once in a while. You spend it. I know you do that well. Invest it, we hope, for the future, and then get confused about what to do with it down the road. So we're here to help, and we want to do it all the time. That's why we do podcasts and shows. And you can call us on Saturdays at 855-935-TALK. That's 855-935-8255. We've got some lines open. We want to help. I'm Don McDonald. Tom Cock is over there. And today, or in this episode, or in this hour, we want to talk about retirement issues again, because it is the biggest thing for which you save. It should be. It's the thing that's going to cost the most money. It's going to cost a lot.
Because there was one of those $300 million Russian yachts in the harbor at Everett. I guess you could pay more for that.
But
that's
all relative. If you have a $300 million yacht, you probably have $3 billion in assets.
Okay, you think.
And we're not going to...
They didn't get seized or something.
Then we're going to change the topic today. So what should you do when your retirement assets, your 401k, your 403, your IRAs, your Roths, or whatever they are, get up there in the big numbers, like a billion, $2 billion, $3
billion? Then,
you do when you get...
Buy the yacht.
When you have billions of dollars in your retirement... No.
Yeah,
we're talking about regular people who, struggle to get to a half a million or maybe a million and a half, like, people we've talked to on the show a lot. It's amazing, truly, if you just save and invest regularly over your lifetime, how much you can end up with. But what do you do when you've been successful or moderately successful and you get to that 500, 750, a million, maybe even 2 million? How should you deal with that money?
Yeah, I mean, the question will be, how impactful is a million, half million, whatever, to your retirement plan? Hopefully it's a lot, but we don't know.
I was going to say, in my case, it's a lot.
It'd be a lot for me. Yes, of course. So the question is kind of, where are you today and where are you headed? What are you trying to do? I think the biggest one is, frankly, people have a good job oftentimes of accumulating money. They're good at saving something. They're good at investing it, but they don't think about defense much. And when you get to a million, you ought to think about, what could happen if this goes the other way, which it will go the other way. We don't know when stocks will go down, but they'll go down, and they could go down precipitously by the spring of 2020. They could go down more slowly as they did in the fall of 2008. We don't know. So you really need to have the right, I'd say, mix, Don. Asset allocation, hate those words.
But you got to think
about defense a bit.
You start to have to think about it when we're talking real money.
Exactly.
Because I ask that people think about this. Think about this. You got $1 million. You've made it to $1 million. You've been aggressive. You've owned a lot of stocks. You got to $1 million. What if someone walks into your house that you have the million sitting on your kitchen table, which is not a smart place to keep it, but...
They said Warren Buffett's sitting on $182 billion. Yeah, so
Warren Buffett's sitting on the million, and he says, Warren says, I'm really good with this money. I'm going to take $500,000 of your money and go away for a while. I'll be back, probably. And I can't guarantee it, because I'm not allowed to guarantee anything. But I'm going to take it away, and you don't know when it's coming back, if at all. Are you okay with that?
No, almost nobody is. We've asked people this for decades, actually. And it's fascinating. Many of you feel very confident after the market's gone up a bit. When we asked people in 2009,
asked
people
that was
in the spring
funny
of 2020, they're like, no, I don't want to see my portfolio go down that much. It's very scary because it the guy might not bring it back. So playing defense, and what we're really talking about here is owning fixed income instruments like bonds, where you should have some of those if you're moving close to retirement. In fact, I again talked to somebody today that was trying to decide how much, because if I start needing the money in a couple of years, how much should I have in fixed income? My reply always is, you got to have a plan first, then you know what how much in stocks, how much in
the
bonds.
The plan comes before the actions, the portfolio.
But if you have the million, if you have the million, the other thing is not to stop. I run into a lot of people say, well, I got a million, I don't need to do anything more. You got to stay the course. You got to stay the course by investing, saving, and getting that free money from your employer. Got to keep getting it.
And we're going to talk more about that throughout this hour, how you invest that money, how you don't do stupid things with it, how you do what's right for you. And that's where that plan comes back. 855-935-TALK is our phone number. We want to talk with you.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
In medicine, a second opinion might save your life. With investing, a second opinion might save your future. The trick is getting one without a high-pressure sales pitch. Well, I'm Don McDonald, and if you've been listening to Talking Real Money, you know that our goal is to help everyone create a brighter future by investing and managing money better. That's why, in addition to helping everyone on our show and podcast, we are also committed to making our 100% fiduciary advisors at Appella available to help everyone make the best financial decisions based on science. So if you're being pitched a financial product or a system, make sure you get a second opinion with no cost, no obligation, and no annoying sales pitch by going to TalkingRealMoney.com or call 800-386-3004. That's 800-386-3004 or TalkingRealMoney.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
You know, people would call a lot more often, I think, if they could see Tom's touchdown dance every time I tell him there's a caller on the line.
Does that dance? I don't know.
Well, that was a touchdown dance.
Okay.
That was like receiver caught the pass. Yeah.
Yeah. No. You know, more of a soccer guy, so it's got to be
No. They don't spike the ball.
Sure. No, but they do all kinds of other weird things.
Yeah, but that was a ball spiking move.
I wish I'd done some of those because the rarity of scoring a goal
player?
For me was – no, the rarity of the scoring a goal. Oh, I should have done, handstand, something, but no, never did. I just kind of turned around back down the field. So.
It's soccer. There's a lot less excitement. Except
let's
twice
not go
in the
there.
Game.
What do you say? Huh?
Except two times in the game. Goal! And then they let that run for like 15 minutes because it's the only chance.
You're celebrating Cinco de Mayo a day early, so good for you.
I am not yet, but
okay.
It's tomorrow, right?
It is.
Are you missing?
May the 4th be with you.
I know.
Sorry.
Golly, people. All right, 855-935-TALK is our phone number, and let's go to one of those lovely caller people for which Tom gets so excited. Dan, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Thanks so much for taking my call. I'm in Polesville, Washington, just across the water from Bellevue. Little backstory. I have a 17-year-old daughter with some disabilities, and we are working on getting her applied with and hopefully receiving Social Security income because of her disabilities.
Okay. Cool.
And she has a 529 college plan that we've been putting money into over the years. And then we've discovered that that's going to count towards her eligibility for Social Security income. Mm-hmm. And we're like wondering, what the heck are we going to do? Well, we heard on Clark Howard, he mentioned ABLE. And last weekend, I signed her up for the Washington State ABLE account. That I don't know if you guys know about it.
Mm-hmm.
You do. Okay.
Yeah, tax-free money for disabled dependents. You can, does not affect their ability to get public benefits like Social Security disability and Medicaid.
That is it,
yeah.
Right?
Right.
Yep. It allows them to have up to $100,000 in it, and it really isn't an investment account. When I compare different states, because you don't have to use the one that for the state that you lived in. Well, I finally settled on Washington State, but I looked at what they have available to put the money in, and it's like setting up a 401k or a Roth. They have aggressive, moderate, conservative, and it's Vanguard. So Vanguard Total Stock Market Index Fund, Vanguard Total International Stock Index Fund, Vanguard Short-Term Bond Index, Total Bond Market Index Fund. So I was happy to see Vanguard.
Good. No, those are great choices. That's a great list.
Right. But so I guess to wrap this up a bit, I'm a home health nurse, and I go on the road, and I have people who are on disability income, and I've been talking to them about ABLE recently, and they don't know about it. Some, I even had one yesterday who said she won't sign up for Social Security because she has other assets, so she doesn't want to do that. I said, well, you could put $100,000 of that into ABLE and probably get your Social Security income going.
Yep. Yep. Sounds I don't right. think it's talked yeah. about. It really is not talked about a lot. You're absolutely right. We've brought it. We've discussed it probably
once at one other time. I was gonna say
one or two other times, just less than a handful of times. But the nice thing is too with the 529, with the regular 529, you can move that money.
Yep.
Into the ABLE and now shelter it. So
from the other benefits.
No, it's a great thing to let people with family members who are disabled for them to be aware of, because it's a powerful way to give them a future, particularly parents of children with disabilities who will go on to lead a relatively normal life, particularly life expectancy, and are going to need a lot of money.
Yeah.
I wish they existed a long time ago, because I had a stepbrother who was profoundly disabled, and his dad set up trust for him. But, boy, would this have been a wonderful thing, because he wasn't eligible for a lot of state and federal aid.
I know. I think this came about before Congress went bad, when they were actually doing good things.
Let's hope we can
actually
make
that's something we can support wholeheartedly.
Yes, we do support that.
Politics aside, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Sadly. Another side to it, if they aren't receiving the Social Security, they can save up to $500,000 in it in Washington State. That's the max. So it's a pretty sizable amount.
It's an incredible thing.
Anyway, I just wanted to
get
the word out to the people on your network.
We really appreciate
thank
it.
You. Thank you for listening. Howard.
Thank you. We and appreciate it, and Clark appreciates it.
You guys are advertising on Clark Howard.
Yep.
Yeah. Cool deal.
It's been very good for us.
It has.
We love Clark.
We like his work. Yeah,
thank
his work
you, Clark.
Good.
All right, now let's go down to Florida. I'm in Florida. So is James. Hi, James. Welcome to the show.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me? Okay.
We can. Thanks.
Okay, great. You actually answered one of my questions a couple of weeks ago. I was the SwagX guy, the Schwab multi mutual fund thing. The reason I'm calling today is I'm homing in on retirement. In 2.5 years, my 5-year contract with the people I work for will expire. At that point, my plan is to go and work half time going forward. I've got about $1.1 million in investments, and I've been my own financial manager for most of that time. Until very recently, I was 100% equities. Usually 70-80% the total U.S. stock market, maybe some small cap, maybe a little international. Now I'm kind of diversifying it with the idea that I need to be worried more about volatility. So here's what I've got in my portfolio right now. And you tell me what you think. I've got 30% total U.S. stock market through VTI, 30% world ex-U.S. through VXUS, 10% VB small cap, 10% VBR small cap value, 10% VTB, large cap value U.S., and don't leave anything out.
I think you're doing fine other than the last one.
VO,
yeah.
10% VO. Okay, but that's my equity part. My portfolio, as it stands, is 60-40, and the fixed income part of my portfolio is a mixture of treasuries, the actual treasury bonds, because I really kind of feel comfortable with a fixed part of my income being fixed.
Yeah.
So I've got 25% in a 20-year treasury that's paying about 4.8%.
Wait a minute. What was the maturity?
10%.
20?
20 years.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on.
We wouldn't favor that.
Yeah.
But okay.
Hold on. We're going to talk about it. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I knew we're going to like that, but let me give you the rest of it. 10% is 1 to 5 year treasury ladder, and 5% is everything under a year, 0 to 3 months. It's all treasuries. Mm-hmm. And my thought is, on the longer duration, to never actually think about selling it. I've got 15% that's all short stuff that would be relatively liquid, and will mature regularly. So that's where I'm at. So what do you think?
Let me take the equity part, and Don could take the
the fixed income.
Yeah. I mean, so you're a little heavy on U.S. large cap growth type of instruments. That's my issue here, because you got VBR. That's good, but you don't have enough of it for me. Here's the way I would do it. If you're going to do this on your own and do it simple, I'd take 60% of the equities, put them in the U.S. Well, we're running out of time.
No, go ahead.
We'll
go
talk
ahead.
About break. And then divide that between large and small, pretty much, and do the same thing internationally, because you're underexposed to those parts of the market. That's how I would do it.
Yeah, and then we'll talk about the bonds after we take a quick break. It's short.
Tom and Don are talking real money. For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
If I can finish the thought, too.
Yeah, you can, absolutely,
the asset allocation.
On the equity.
If you have of anything available to you, and it sounds kind of like you do, then you're going to want to figure out how to have a little more value in there, too. In other words, sort of the underloved. I mentioned small already. Yeah. So to keep it simple, I would divide between large and small, and value and growth. Because right now you're very much invested in the companies that have already had the big run-up.
I would, on the other hand, have a fun. I would just simplify it like crazy and get yourself a total market that has a total market fund, U.S. international, that has a value small tilt.
And we need to explain what tilt. Somebody asked me yesterday, what does that mean?
Oh, it's just overweight. I'm sorry. I thought you were going to explain it.
Well, I'll explain it from my perspective. If you own an index, you own, again, sort of you're leaning the wrong way. You're having more in large and growth firms.
Yep.
If you looked at the value of all the companies, that would be correct. But what you really want to do, according to the academics, is overweight. That's the right word, Don. Hold more than the market actually has in value in small and value type of companies.
And
most people do not do that.
If you already own ETFs, you could just own something like the Avantis. AVGE, the all equity ETF, own that as your entire fixed or stock portfolio. Makes life so much simpler because it's already got the U.S. international. It's already got the small and the emphasis on small in value, but still with the big companies in there. All the big companies are still there.
What about the fixed income?
Then the fixed income. This is where I see what you're getting at. And I do.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. No. I actually do. You are so skeptical. If you truly have the discipline to, you're saying, I'm not going to need that 20-year bond portfolio, it's a bond,
individual
for 20
bonds.
Years. You're saying you're not going to need those for 20 years, right?
Not exactly, because the bond gives interest every 6 months.
But you're not going to need the principal from the bond.
Right. What I'm going to do is take the interest that comes off and put it in the shorter end of the curve.
Okay.
And so essentially I'll be getting that money. I don't need to touch these funds for probably at least 7 years.
So what if, though, let me ask, this is the important question on a 20-year maturity. What if interest rates spike and the value of that 20-year treasury drops by 20%?
Which it just did in 2022, basically.
That's the beauty of it. For me, I don't care what the market assigns its value.
That's the correct answer. That is the only answer that makes being in any kind of a longer-term security make sense. And the reason we are opposed to longer-term securities generally is buying them in a fund, because the funds take a beating no matter what the individual investors in the fund do. You as an individual.
And that's why I didn't get a fund.
Yeah, you as an individual have the power.
I tried to own bond funds. It doesn't work for me.
Yeah, but you have the power to be smarter than the market. The trick is to know yourself. Can you control your emotions? If you can, then I love the latter, and I'm okay with the 20.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. I kept investing through the whole housing downturn. It didn't.
I'm seriously.
It was a great opportunity.
In terms of your equity portfolio, you just have too many. It's a hodgepodge.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Here's the thing, James, about your situation in life 2.5 years from retirement that I would do no matter what my asset allocation was. I would consult with someone else, a fee-only 100% fiduciary, just to say, here's what I'm kind of thinking about my income and all the rest of it, and get the plan, because then you're going to have a professional that's going to look over your shoulder and say, don't forget, because every time I meet with somebody, I forgot about that. I didn't do that. I didn't know that. You're going to learn things there, even though you've done a great job saving and investing for a long period of time.
Thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Okay.
855-935-TALK is our phone number. Oh, and by the way, in case you think that having just one fund, like the AVGE, is just...
Sounds risky.
Having
I don't have
one
a half
fund,
a million dollars in one fund.
What's in the fund? What is
I
in the
I forget how
Avantis?
Many funds are in there. A lot, right?
Because Yes.
U.S. large.
Yes, there are 15
U.S. small
different
value.
Funds.
Wow.
There's U.S. equity.
But wait, don't I pay for those funds and the new fund?
No.
And the other fund? Oh.
No.
I thought
the fee
be
is the fee of the funds because it's
okay.
Avantis.
Ah, got it.
So there's U.S. large, international, emerging markets, international large cap value, U.S. small cap value, emerging markets value, U.S. small cap equity, real estate, mid cap, all of those things in one fund.
Count them, one.
It's just one. 855-935-TALK.
Tom and Don are talking real money. Reality radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
Yeah, I want to finish the thought with
you're
James
taking your
real
time.
Quick.
I'm going home.
I'm sorry. That's it. Explain why I think you should own U.S. small cap value stocks. I just looked up the number because I'm always curious. How about the numbers?
Oh,
what do they look
the
like?
The number's important.
Yeah, from our friend Mark Hebner, who runs IFA. You can go look these up yourself, ifa.com, I believe it is. But according to his research, and these are just the numbers, 96 years now and 3 months from 1928 till the end of this previous quarter, 3/31/2024. If you invested in large company stocks in the United States, you made 9.7% a year. That's a
great
good return.
I'd be totally happy with that.
But here's the thing. If you invested in U.S. small cap value stocks, the aforementioned tilt,
since 12.4.
Since 1928, 12.4. I think that's 2.5% a year or something, maybe even a little more than that, right?
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's more. It's more like 2.7% a year. I mean, and it's not every year. I get it. It's not even every decade, for that matter. But that has been the case for a very, well, in terms of investing, a very long time. Not in terms of the world very long, but in terms of investing, a very long time. So that's why we suggest you invest in those. Not everything, but most people have nothing in it. The person I met with today, zero exposure to those stocks. You got to have some. So
now, did you, just out of curiosity, run that number with an actual amount of money?
No, I just looked. I went to where you can go look at the actual returns of these asset classes. I didn't run it.
If you
you've done that before, and it's fascinating.
If you put $1,000 in in January 1st, 1928, in the large company index, according to IFA, you put $1,000 in 28.
Yep.
That's probably dead by now. But had you done that, and you're still alive, you're like Warren Buffett. You just keep going like the energy.
Never dead.
Running.
Yeah.
And this is, by the way, this is adjusting it for fees. So let's take out the fees. Let's just take those out of there. You would have $842,000 today.
So you're... 1,000 went to 842.
If we did just small, not small company.
Yeah.
Well, let's do small value. Let's just
small
go
value.
All
yeah,
the
let's go
way.
Dramatic.
Sure. Let's go crazy. January 1928. This can't be right. This can't.
Remember when you used to do that chart that showed here's the growth of it? It was so fascinating.
This can't be right.
And on and on.
Yeah. I'm looking at the calculator.
The large was how much again?
A lot. It was like, you know, $700,000 or something.
Yeah. Oh, God, that was
I forgot.
Eight. Okay.
Now.
Yeah. Yes. The small.
What a difference. And again, these are all like hypothetical things. Nobody, you know, nobody actually did that. Well, if I don't know of anyone who did this. $1,000 invested in 28. Let's say you had a rich grandparent. They put it in the
account for you.
And now you're 90 some odd years old, 96. And you're sitting
and
with
3 months.
$79.5 million.
Wow. That's just amazing. Because it's not just making the 2.7% more each year. It's compounding it over and over and over again.
Yeah, it is. And by the way, what's funny, though? The standard deviation, the volatility on that, it's like a 30%. It's really risky.
Yeah, it is. He's got it at 28, too. If you decide to do the same thing internationally, guess what? You make the 12.4% a year, again, in international small cap value stocks. This is why, and by the way, they don't go up and down the same as U.S. small cap value stocks. So why we want you to own all of these.
It's exactly the same number.
Invest. I know. It's kind of freaky. It makes you wonder if somebody didn't copy and paste or something, but apparently
that's
they didn't.
That's weird.
Yeah. Anyway.
Wow.
What is? I didn't look at the standard deviation on that one. It's actually lower for international stocks.
Yeah.
Go figure, right?
Yeah, it's lower.
Riskier from really.
But
anyway.
Okay, now let's go back, though, to the portfolio. The reason we suggested the very broadly based small.
Yeah.
One, you can't, and even Buffett was talking about this. If I'm going to invest, I'd rather invest in the United States.
Yeah.
This is the old John Bogle. I trust it, I know it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the reality is the world has changed. And you never know in the future which of the globe's economies is going to be the best and which might have a long protracted decline like Japan did.
Or which one's going to create great companies? Isn't there one in like Scandinavia somewhere that's grown tremendously recently?
Oh, you're talking about Novo Nordisk in Denmark?
You were just telling me the story the other day. It's like that came out of the left field.
The stock's value is half that of the entire country's GDP. But anyway, the reason we suggest all of this is because when one market does well, they don't all do well at exactly the same time over exactly the same period. We can see that with the U.S. doing as well as it's done lately.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Do you suffer from hodgepodgeitis? I'm Don McDonald, and hodgepodgeitis is a disease of your investment portfolio whose symptoms include lots of stocks, loads of random loaded mutual funds, and maybe an annuity or two. Most who suffer from hodgepodgeitis dread opening their quarterly portfolio statements. They feel lost and confused. Investing seems overwhelming and the financial future uncertain. If you believe you suffer from hodgepodgeitis, see a 100% fiduciary investment advisor immediately. A proper diagnosis is the first step to creating a portfolio with a purpose based on a personal plan. Start on the road to recovery now by scheduling a free meeting with an Appella advisor at TalkingRealMoney.com. There is no cost, obligation, or high-pressure sales pitch. Take the first step at TalkingRealMoney.com or call 800-386-3004. Hodgepodgeitis is not a real disease, but treating it has been shown to improve mood, reduce fear, and even lead to a brighter financial future. Results may vary.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
And before we go back to the phones, I want to just give you, I love numbers like this because they tell a story. They tell a fascinating story. I want to go back and look at the large company stocks from IFA and the small cap value from them adjusted for inflation. $1,000 invested in 1928 through March of 2024 grew to, after inflation,
how much?
$430,000. Still very, very good. It
not
beat
bad.
Inflation, which is better than gold did. Way better than gold did. Way, way better because gold just matched inflation.
Not better than Bitcoin, but we'll leave it at that.
But it didn't exist then.
I'm kidding.
If you were in small company value, $4.6 million.
Wow.
Now, here's another interesting fact. If you invested $1,000 in small cap value in 1928 and you held on and held on, you didn't make money permanently for another 16 years.
Wow.
You basically lost money for 16 years.
You had to really.
How,
but it's going to be okay. It's going to work out.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And
sure
then, just when you were doing pretty well, steadily growing, comes 2008, when your portfolio went from $2.7 million. This is where we get into the big numbers.
Don't tell me. I'll say it went down to like 700.
No, 1.1 million.
Okay.
1.1.
Lost.
$600,000.
Yeah. Would you have stuck with it?
Would you have stuck with it?
We know you wouldn't. The human experience is filled with people that give up way too early.
I just find all this fascinating. That's the risk, though, of the small cap value. That's the pain you would have had to go through.
You got
to
take it. Yep.
855-935-TALK. Every Saturday, call us from noon to 2 Pacific time, 3 to 5 Eastern, wherever you are in the country, in the world. And let's pull Liam up. Hey, Liam, welcome to our program.
Hi, Don and Tom. This is Liam from Houston, Texas. Thank you for taking my call. It's a pleasure talking to you guys.
Thank you.
So I am 40 and my wife is 37 and we make about 205. And after investing and things like that, we also have two kids. And after investing and saving in investments, is it advisable if we just spend all the money that's left over?
I don't follow the question. After you are currently investing.
After investing.
Yeah.
Yeah. After investing and saving, currently we're investing about 57,000 dollars
a year
into we basically Roth IRA, we're maxing it out, and HSA, and the rest is in 401k. And
you're saving somewhere over 25% then of your gross income.
Yes,
yeah, I'd say that's pretty doggone good.
Yes.
Yeah. If you're saving that much, go spend. Go enjoy your life while you're young.
Pump up the economy. No kidding.
Because we have two kids right now, and everything is so expensive with the house and things like that. Yep.
If you have extra money after saving 25% of your gross income, you're doing a really great job.
So with that, and we have about 6 months of emergency saving, you think that should be enough, right?
Yes.
That is harder to say. I mean, we can't tell because that's 20 years off, right? We don't know that. But if you continue to save
off
that way, you continue to save that way, then yes, my friend, I believe the odds are very much in your favor.
How much do you have in your portfolio right now? How much money's in your portfolio right now? Altogether.
As a couple, we have about, with total tax, I mean, 401 Roth and HSA, total, we have about $675,000.
You have $675,000 at age 40 and 30,
and you're saving somewhere over 50 a year. Yeah, I'm liking where you're heading.
So let's just play with some numbers because
Don's going to run the number. Yeah, uh-huh.
We love numbers. Because you're young at heart, you're not going to retire till you're 40, and you put away, let's say, just $5,000 a month. We're going to be a little more conservative. And you do that for the next 40 years.
40? Wait a minute.
Okay, let's say 40? 30. Well, I'm sorry, 30. I meant to
he's
put in 40, 30.
Yeah.
I put in 30.
Yeah, okay.
I meant to put in 30.
Right.
You do it for the next 30 years. You, at 7%, which is kind of where balanced funds have fallen over the last several decades. Let's just use that for a nice round number. You're only going to have.
How much?
You're only going to have $11 million at retirement.
And then let's just use the 4% rule.
Well, that's easy. Then that's $400,000
a year. $500,000 you could take out a year of your portfolio.
Yeah.
Should work, not including Social Security and or any pensions you may be eligible for.
Yeah, so, Liam, you guys are on such a great course.
Man.
You're on a great course.
Thank you, Diane, Tom.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
May the fourth be with you, Tom.
Thank you, Liam. Always. Right. Thank you for that. So I love hearing those stories. No, that's a great story about somebody who's setting aside that much. I've never set aside, I don't think, 25% of my gross income. No, that's
awesome. That means they're living very frugally. They're definitely living within their means. And by the way,
awesome.
If you want to save a little less, let's say you decided you were going to really take
now we're going to go there.
We're going to take a blowout vacation every year that's worth $12,000.
That's a nice vacation.
That's a big blowout. You're coming to Disney World, taking a whole week.
That's,
and a,
that's
at the
like
Grand
Clark
Floridian.
Howard takes his whole staff for $12,000 or something.
Yeah, well, you're going to do it up. Or do two a year, $6,000 each.
Okay, all right.
So you cut your annual put away down to $47,000. You're still going to have over $9 million at 7%.
That's probably still going to work, even in 30 years from
now.
You
think?
So, yeah, I think so. Well done. All right. Nice to get those calls. Thank you, Liam.
855-935-TALK. Joe, you're up next. Welcome to our show, Joe.
Hey.
Hi.
I never thought I'd call in because most of what I've heard is too sophisticated for my limited knowledge, because I listen in the car because I happen to be on the road at the time you're on. And so a couple of weeks ago, a couple of things have resonated with me and have prompted me to call in. A couple of weeks ago, you said many Americans couldn't find $400 to spend. And I could identify with that, not because I didn't have $400 to spend, because a dear person in our lives died, and I asked people to spend $400, and nobody said they had it. And I said, well, then I'm not covering you. I'm just going to, we'll just reduce the budget. And then today you were talking about a pill or a tool people wanted, a practical resource for budgeting and income and expenditure. And I thought, wow, that's where the gap is, because we have to crawl, we have to walk, and then we can run. And we have to plan daily and plan monthly. And we need tools or pills or whatever for that. And I was wondering if you guys thought one existed.
No, absolutely not. And by the way, at my age, I can't run anymore.
No, I mean, but and Joe, thank you. That's a very thoughtful a call. We'll take this up in a minute, because you're right. We never really just say, here are the three basic things to kind of do to get going.
Yeah, there isn't a magic pill, but there are some little snippets of advice that might help. And by the way, it was a Fed survey that said 4 in 10 Americans had enough for a $400 emergency.
Tom and Don are talking real money. For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
So is there a special formula, a secret sauce, a pill, a solution to make people better at managing money and investing?
Well, I mean, you heard some of it already. Just, and I'd like to say sorry, first of all, for your loss, because that sounds tough. But yeah, you just heard it from Liam to some extent. This is the part that people generally
spend less.
Yeah, I mean, you got it. Before you even get to the pill, you got to figure out, you know, I can't spend everything that comes in the door every year. And I truly think,
No. Many don't just spend everything that comes in the door.
That's
true. They spend everything plus.
And so I'm going to go to one of my rules, and that is make it automatic, because it's really hard to live. And then at the end of whatever you're doing, saying, I'm going to set something aside. Most people have trouble doing that. Instead, you pay yourself first. Before you even get the money, it comes out of your account, it goes into something else, then you apply the pill. That's where the real magic happens.
Have you ever noticed that when your taxes come out of your paycheck, you don't really look and go, oh my gosh, I just paid the government a whole bunch. You don't look, you just go, this is how much I have to spend.
Net.
So if you take out another 5%, and you put that in a retirement account of some kind, particularly if your employer is matching, have it taken out automatically.
There. Yeah.
It builds up to numbers like Liam at 40 years old.
I know. It's incredible. Or like the teacher that has $1.6 or $7 million at retirement.
Yeah.
Even though he's been a teacher. We know they're
not a high
well
paid job.
Right. Yeah. So that to me is to save something, to make it automatic, then the magic is investing that properly. And in today's world, where the average expense ratio of an equity mutual fund is 0.4, where 35 years ago, I just looked this up, was 1.4. I mean, look at that's part of the, you can save all that money. you can just own a target date fund for hopefully cheap in your retirement plan. You got to do nothing. It goes in there. You're all set. So I think it's automation, simplicity, and low cost, and you don't mess with it. You're going to be in a good place.
I think it's even simpler than that. I think that if you want to have money in the future, you must find a way to save money. You just have to spend less. The key is spend a little bit less. That's all it's going to take. If you spend a little bit less, you're going to have more.
Yeah, you don't have to save 25% like Liam was saying. He's great. It'd be, you know, your life will be better.
Just
but something.
Take cut Getting something going. Out. And I've fallen madly in love with, particularly for young people, something like an Acorns, where it takes your spending and turns it into savings. And we're good at spending. As a people, as a species.
And Acorns is a rounding service. Yeah. So if you spend
$1.75, you say round, and then every week put $10 out of my checking account in there. Because I won't notice that $10. You will not notice the $10 is not there.
It's a big deal. I agree. Again, that's sort of automating things in a way where you don't have to think about it. You don't have to spend less. You just have to have it ready to go.
Yeah, and I'm getting ready to automate things. I'm going 30. Are you looking for a pill? How about a silver bullet? Looking for the silver
Don't
bullet?
Swallow that thing.
Yeah,
It'd
don't swallow
it.
No, it's 29 feet long. I had to take a big glass of water. And it's made of aluminum. I don't think that much aluminum would be good for you. Going across the country, just go to talkingrealmoney.com and click on the Learn More button to find out where I'm going to be. Now, I'm not going to be managing portfolios like Tom. That's only going to happen in Madison. I'm just going to meet you. I just want to say hi. So go to talkingrealmoney.com, click on the Learn More button.
The opinions and views expressed on this podcast were current on the date recorded. Opinions, estimates, forecasts, and statements of financial market trends that are based on current market conditions constitute our judgment and are subject to change without notice, including any forward-looking estimates or statements which are based on certain expectations and assumptions. Although information and opinions given have been obtained from or based on sources believed to be reliable, no warranty or representation is made as to their correctness, completeness, or accuracy. Information presented on the podcast is not personalized investment advice from Appella Wealth. The views and strategies described may not be suitable for everyone. This podcast does not identify all the risks, direct or indirect, or other considerations which might be material to you when entering any financial transaction. Past performance does not guarantee future results, and profitable results cannot be guaranteed. We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. The podcast is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Appella Wealth, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Please see Appella Wealth ADV Part 2A on our website for information regarding Appella's fees and services. Appella Capital, LLC, DBA Appella Wealth, is an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. The firm only transacts business in the states where it is properly registered or excluded or exempt from registration requirements. Registration with the SEC or any state securities authority does not imply a certain level of skill or training. Appella does not provide tax or legal advice, and nothing either stated or implied here should be inferred as providing such advice. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and important disclosure related to performance of any specific index or fund quoted in this podcast. Is anybody still listening?